In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're tuned in to the Gangster Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery. With a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. You're listening to Alex Alonso from StreetGangs.com, a.k.a. Street TV, and I'm with my co-host,
James McDonald.
I'm sitting here with Big James McDonald, and you are listening to episode 38 of the Gangster Chronicles. And if you're new to the podcast, please go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating and review, 1 to 5, 5 meaning you love the show, and we'll be able to continue bringing you this amazing content. But let me start off with, we had Nino Cappuccino on episode 36, a couple episodes. I just want to do a quick fact check. Nino talked about the Nickerson Gardens, 1,066 housing units in those projects, and he's correct, but he didn't put it in context with the other projects. So the Nickerson Gardens has 1,066 units. The Jordan Downs has 700 units. The Imperial Courts has 498 units. And Hacienda Village has 348 units. Mm-hmm. So that kind of puts it in context to how large the Nickersons are.
They're large.
They're the largest. Actually, it's the largest. Here's another thing. The largest urban housing development west of the Mississippi River.
Wow.
And, you know, you got to get to New York and Chicago to those big ones.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's huge. And when you think about the size of the projects, it gives you an idea of how big the gangs are. The Bounty Hunters are by far the largest gang in Watts, right? The second largest gang would be the Grape Streets and the Jordan Downs. And then Imperial Courts and Hacienda Village, the P.J. Watts and the...
Small.
And they're a little smaller, but then you get when you get to the haciendas, they're even smaller, and it's all based on the size of the projects.
Well, and then you got to look at it too, because all of those guys that represent Grape Street don't live in Grape Streets; they live in different areas, you know. But they just claim that hood.
Yeah,
so it's you don't know how many it is.
Now, here's another interesting fact check from that episode with Nino Cappuccino. I'm sure Nino knows this, but he didn't want to go too much into his project, his film. But the Nickerson Gardens was actually built by a brother. The brother's an architect.
I thought it was a compound or something like that.
Nah, this brother, the brother built the projects. His name is Paul Revere Williams. And he, not only did he design the Nickerson Gardens, but he actually designed houses to celebrities and all that during the, I think it was the 40s and 50s. Mm. Black architect not only built the Nickerson Gardens, but also built several homes and houses throughout Southern California during those years. All right, your boy O.J. Simpson is only up to 924,000 followers on Twitter. He only went up like 1,000 in the last couple weeks. What's going on, James? It's like slow motion to get to
people
that 1 million.
People getting tired of that shit. It don't matter. Like me. Let O.J. Simpson do his thing. Why is he trying to get to that point? What is it going to do for him? He should be relaxed somewhere, sitting back, chilling. He shouldn't even be on no Instagram, no Facebook, none of that shit. Twitter, none of that. He need to kick back.
924,000.
That's a lot, but, I mean, shit.
Hey, he's doing his thing. He's doing his thing, man. He's posting videos about football and all that good stuff. You know, and he's, what, 70-something years old. I know you want him to just go into some corner and go under a rock and disappear.
I just say this. You've been through so much in the last 20 years.
That's true.
You've been through so much. I mean, you have to think, man, let me just relax. You got money, sit back and just chill and live out your life. Why try to be in this here? You, man, we damn, I'm tired of you. Too damn old for this shit.
All right. I feel you. I feel where you're coming from, but you know, this is America, the land of the free.
It is.
Of the free, and you know, if OJ.
But at the end of the day, we black motherfuckers don't know how to act.
But look, OJ was.
You won. Regardless, at the end of the day, you won. You did that little time out there in Las Vegas. This the least I can do is come home and sit down.
That little time, he did damn near a decade.
It don't matter. but hey, they got to get him some kind of way. And I know he realized that while he's doing that time. He had 10 years to think about it. So sitting on your ass and then come home and then act like a different person. Come on, man. You still O.J. Simpson.
All right. Same thing. All right, let's move on. We got a guest today, man. And she is an attorney. And she's represented quite a few high-profile people. I don't really know the specifics of those cases, but she definitely has relationships with, I'd say, quite a few people in the hip-hop industry.
Yeah.
And some of you guys probably already know who I'm talking about, but we have Lauren Noriega in the house, a.k.a. Nori.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Oh, for sure. Thanks for coming down.
Of course.
Let's just get a little bit about your background. Where'd you go to school, and how'd you get into the law?
Yeah, so I'm from Victorville, California, originally. I went to undergrad at Cal State San Bernardino, where I studied, actually, nutrition. And then I did my first year of law school in Jacksonville, Florida, came back to L.A., and did my last 2 years at Loyola Law School here in downtown L.A.
Oh, right there off of Olympic, right?
Yep. Olympic and Albany.
Yeah, they got the Innocence Project there.
They do.
Yeah, I worked with a lot of attorneys there.
I did the Innocence Project while I was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did they have, what's her name? I worked with her.
Lori Levinson?
Lori, yes. Mm-hmm. I worked on a couple cases with her. She's still there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
okay, mm-hmm. I haven't hollered at her in a minute. So made you leave one law school and go to another one?
You know, I went to Jacksonville because they offered me a really nice scholarship. And then once I was out there, I kind of realized it just wasn't for me. And so I just transferred back, and Loyola matched my scholarship. So it all worked out.
Okay, well, we're going to dedicate this episode of the Gangster Chronicles to the law, James.
Let's do that.
We want to educate a lot of people about the law. But I will warn you, though, we're going to be talking about the law from the state of California perspective. We got listeners all over the world. We got listeners all over the United States. But most of what we're going to be talking about is related to the laws in the state of California. We might dabble a little bit in federal law, but we're going to talk mostly about what's going on in the state of California. Does that sound good, Nori?
Let's do it.
And you're always posting videos about different aspects of the law and touching on some things. So I wanted to get, we talked about this on the show, James, the felony murder rule.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's SB 1487?
1437.
1437, where retroactively, some brothers that were just sitting in the back seat during the course of a crime might be able to get out because, you know, back in the day, as you know, they convicted everyone. They charged everyone, and they convicted everyone.
You get that murder.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, I got a lot of homeboys in jail for a robbery that went bad, and the police or the store owner killed them, but my boy got that murder because they was in the midst of a crime.
So we briefly talked about it on a previous episode of the Gangster Chronicles, Nori, but give us the specifics of how did the SB 1437 come about and what does it actually mean?
Yeah, so some states still have the felony murder rule, and basically it allows...
Shame on those states. Shame on all those states that still have the felony murder rule.
Yeah, it basically allowed prosecutors to present a theory of natural and probable consequences to the jury. Basically saying, you know, if you're involved in a carjacking, you should know that it may be a natural and probable consequence that somebody would get murdered. And so that allowed them to convict based on that type of accomplice liability. And so the California legislature enacted this new rule, SB 1437, which is retroactive and allows basically people that were convicted under the felony murder rule to petition to have their murder convictions vacated.
And all they're going to do with that is drop the murder thing and then just, I mean, you still got a lot of time.
So that's the thing, though, is that, so say you have you were convicted of other charges along with the murder, and they vacate the murder charge, whatever time you've done goes toward the other charges. So a lot of people have already more than done their time.
Out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Now, do a lot of people that are sitting in one of our California state prisons understand what's going on, and how do they take advantage of the change in the law?
I don't even think a lot of attorneys understand the nuances of 1437, because one of the practical issues that I've run into in practicing this and filing 1437 motions is that I don't know any cases where the prosecutor only presents one theory of guilt. They're going to present multiple theories of guilt to try to secure their conviction. So the difficulty with 1437 is that a lot of courts are ruling that if other viable theories of guilt were presented to the jury, then you may not be eligible for 1437 because some of those theories are still good law today, and there's no way to know which theory the jury used to convict that person.
Still a catch.
Yeah.
It's all a catch.
Serious catch.
Yeah.
So what is there to do then if you're sitting in prison and maybe there were other theories presented and maybe those other theories weren't strong, they were weak? Is there retrial opportunities?
You're not petitioning for a retrial. You're petitioning to get the murder conviction vacated. So it's case by case, and all the judges are ruling differently. I mean, the DAs are even arguing that 1437 isn't a constitutional law. So there, it's just at some point it's going to probably get to the Supreme Court, or the California legislature is going to redraft it in a way that makes it more clear on that issue. But that's a huge issue going on right now with 1437 that I don't think the California legislature anticipated when drafting that law.
So a lot of homies ain't going to be able to take advantage of this,
no,
James.
Yeah. No, it seemed like a lot of paperwork, and you can just see denial in front of it all the way.
Yeah, it seems very enticing, and it seems so defendant-friendly, but then when you actually get into it, it's a pretty high bar to reach.
Whoa, okay.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Now, I wanted to ask you, like,
how did you hook up with all these rappers and all these entertainers? I see you posting stuff. I think something with Snoop.
Mm-hmm. I love Snoop.
Bosco.
Yeah.
Who else? I'm missing a couple.
Well, I know Glasses.
Glasses Malone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and these people we had on the show. We've had Glasses on here, James.
So you represent them? Or?
I represent some of them. And then some are just, you know, homies. And if they ever get caught
they
up,
homies?
They're homies. And if they ever got caught
now,
up.
Now, how do you mix being a lawyer with the homies?
Great question.
Case by case basis. Some of them are strictly just clients. And then some of them, like, I knew before they needed me. And so if you're a friend first and then I represent you, it's, you know, sometimes those lines can be blurred. But Bosco, I was friends with before I represented him. So that's a very close friend of mine. We've known each other for a few years now. But that was kind of one of the first high profile cases that I did. I did his, he had a fourth felon in possession of firearm case. And that's mandatory state prison time. And I actually, it was out of Compton, I got him 6 months house arrest, which is like unheard of.
Wow.
So that was like the first thing that really kind of catapulted my law firm and got my name out there.
I remember that because someone went online and said, oh, Bosco must have been snitching because there's no way.
There's no one to snitch on.
You get, you know, you get off of that gun case.
There's no one to snitch on.
No, there's always someone to snitch on.
Well, in that case,
a guy can snitch on an unrelated case that has nothing to do with his arrest.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know.
But he didn't snitch.
Yeah, but I remember people saying that. So
you heard it on Gangsta Chronicles. Gangsta Chronicles, he did not.
He did not snitch.
His lawyer is here, and she just told y'all.
So how did you pull that off? What was you found a loophole or something?
No, you know, all it was is I asked for in chambers. For those of you who don't know, you know, if you're not liking the deal that the DA has given you, you can ask the court for an offer. And so I asked to go sit down with the judge. So me and the DA, we sit down with the judge, and I pretty much said, like, look, he's doing really well in his life. He's really not still gangbanging. He's got a lot going on, and kind of just sold it to the judge, and the judge just happened to really like me. We just got lucky. We got a really good judge.
Now, if Bosco gets arrested again on a gun possession, then they're going to throw the book at him, right?
I mean, California in general, it comes down really hard on people with guns. So probably, I mean, that would be his fifth one. So probably, yeah.
Okay. You know, California used to be lenient on guns back in... can you believe that, I don't know what year it changed, but possession of a gun was a misdemeanor.
In the early 80s,
it was.
It still can be. So there's different levels. Mm-hmm. There's just possession of a firearm when you're not a convicted felon is a wobbler. So depending on the circumstances of the case.
They changed it big time.
Yeah, depending on the circumstances of the case, it can still, and I have handled misdemeanor gun cases, but most of the cases, most of the gun cases I do is felon in possession of a firearm, PC 29-800, and that's always a felon. And it's always mandatory state prison time.
Please explain to our listeners what a wobbler actually means.
A wobbler means in the state of California that the DA has discretion whether to file the charge as a misdemeanor or a felony.
Thank you very much. And in most instances, they're going for the felony.
Well, if you're a gang member.
Oh, forget about
it's
it.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
They're not even considering anything.
Yeah. Your priors are really what dictate it. If you don't have any priors, they're probably going to file it as a misdemeanor. But if you have a prior history or, you know, if you have an FI card, you're in Cal Gangs, they're probably going to file it as a felony.
Yeah, you don't even have to have a... This could be your first gun case. Mm-hmm. But you got robberies and anything else. Mm-hmm. Anything else dictates what they're going to do to you. And this is the cool thing about it. Like with the three-strike law. Now, is it true with the three-strike law, you have to have committed that same crime, been convicted, just say I did three robberies. Each robbery gave me a strike. But if I did a robbery or I did a or got caught with a pistol, is that the same thing as
a strike's a strike? Yeah, it doesn't matter what type of strikeable offense it is.
It has to be a felony, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't get a strike on a misdemeanor.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's correct.
But you can get multiple strikes on one offense.
Yes, that's correct.
You can get two strikes on one offense.
That's correct.
It got to be two different type of charges, though.
Yeah, you can get five charges on one offense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I shot somebody, you're gonna get that for the gun case, and then you're going to get that for the attempted murder.
You shot somebody, felony in possession of a gun, attempted murder. Let's say a couple bullets went into the house behind you. Shooting into an inhabited dwelling, that's three. Can you add some more, Nori?
Yeah, I mean, assault with a deadly weapon.
Assault with a deadly weapon, four.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's really rare that... I've seen it on a juvie case, actually, where they and he had a clean record, which is really messed up. But it's really rare that they try to attach two strikes on one case, because that's really harsh. But they do it. They do. It's just not very often.
It like I said, it depends on the person that's right in front of the judge.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think the court's showing has favoritism in it. You know, with the DA and the judge friendly, they really need this one. You got a public defender that really just came in, really don't know what they're talking about or doing. They're not going to tell you how long they've been practicing. You have to take that public defender until you be able to tell the judge, I don't want this person. I had a homeboy fired every public defender he had. He was fighting a murder case, and I want to go pro bono. And it's crazy, because at first the judge was like, Mr. Woop, you know what you're doing? And we don't know. We don't know the law like they do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you put yourself in harm's way. You already know you're going to jail. So, I mean, it's crazy how the law works. And I think we get more time than white people, the white boys do, because I've seen white boys get arrested with drugs, and his charges and his time ain't the same as mine.
For sure.
And like we was talking earlier, this 6ix9ine guy, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy how you have one guy tell on nine people, this guy gets 2 years, and he can come home and everybody else doing 10 to 15. But he was doing the same shit with them. It's crazy.
Well, you know, that goes back to we spoke about that on a previous episode where Sammy the Bull Gravano, who admitted to 19 murders, only got 5 years.
It's crazy.
Only got 5 years. He committed more murders than your typical serial killer, Richard Ramirez, Jeffrey Dahmer. He committed more murders than those dudes did, and he only got five years. Well, because he informed on the biggest gangster in America at the time.
And if that's what you want, then we're going to give you 5 years, but we got this one. Come on, man. Is that fair? So we know the law ain't fair, right? The system ain't fair, right?
Well, the system is definitely not perfect, you know? I'd rather be in the United States of America fighting a case than in, let's say, Russia or Iran or China.
All this shit is different than here.
You don't got a chance in China.
No, you ain't got a chance nowhere.
So as much as we criticize this system, and there's much space for criticism, I'd rather be fighting a case in the good old United States of America than in any other country on earth. You know what I'm saying?
Be like me and don't go back. Fuck
but,
it.
But since you brought it up, James, we could talk a little bit about it. I had some more questions for Nori, but we'll come back to that. But yeah, it was just recently reported that Tekashi 6ix9ine was sentenced to 24 months in prison. He's already been in prison for about 14-15 months.
Yeah.
So that means that he'll be walking out in
7 months, maybe.
Yeah, if he has to do 85% of the 24 months, he'll be walking out in a few months.
About 6-7 months.
Yeah. So, Nori, what do you think about that? This is a guy that was the biggest rapper in probably coming out of New York. You probably would have been taking pictures with this dude on Instagram at some point if he would have never became an informant, because you got all the rappers on, you know, you're hanging out with all the rappers.
I don't really mess with his music. Like, I couldn't name one song of his.
Me either. I can't name one Tekashi 6ix9ine
song. I'm more of I like old school rap. I like traditional West Coast rap, but that's not really my steez.
But he could have been a potential client, is all I'm saying.
Anybody could be a potential client.
Because he comes to L.A. a lot. But what do you think about the system? Like, let's say you're defending someone, and that person has to deal with not only the case that they have against him for doing XYZ, but now he's got informants telling on him in a trial that's coming up, and you got to defend this guy from the charges, and then you got to deal with the informant that's going to come in and say, yeah, he did do XYZ.
Yeah, I mean, I do federal cases. I defend federal cases, and I've even done a federal case in New Mexico before. So I'm familiar with the federal system, which is a bit different than the state system. When it comes to informants, though, one of the main things that you're going to attack as the defense is that this informant is getting benefits. This informant has everything to gain from talking. So who's to say that they're not going to make things up to sweeten the deal for themselves? And who's to say that they're reliable? I mean, this is a criminal. You know, so that's kind of where any defense attorney is going to go when we're talking about informants and things like that.
But they've been doing that for, let's say, since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
They knowing that this guy has a dirty record.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, the average person that want to tell on somebody is in jail for some shit they done did already.
Right.
But let me use this free ticket or what have you to, I know who did this murder.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets out of jail to go back doing his drugs or doing whatever.
Right.
Or he just know he can't do time in jail. So they haven't found a way to fix this. They just sweeten the deal every time.
Right.
Especially with this guy. He's sitting here and he's telling and implicating himself in the majority of the things that was going on.
Well, I can tell you with federal cases, one of the things that if you're going to agree to snitch, one of the promises you have to make to the prosecution is that you will be upfront and honest about your role in it. So that's why that's why it seems as though he's implicating himself, because he's required, if he's going to snitch, he's required to also discuss his role in it.
Yeah.
Well, he was facing
guess what his maximum exposure was?
Was it not life?
No, he had a number. His maximum exposure, 37 years.
37 years.
24 months, James. 37 years, 24 months.
He's the biggest donkey on the planet. He was smart. he did his thing, and he got out of it.
Now, we got to briefly talk about Reggie Wright Jr., because we debated this right here in the studio, and he said he was going to get at least 5, 6, 7 years. And I think, if I remember correctly, I said the most he'll probably get is 3, but he can get less than that. And what did Reggie say to me?
Well, Reggie was like, no. But Reggie is looking at it from the police perspective. You know what I'm saying? No, I know I dealt with a lot of cats like that. I know what he going to get. But this is federal shit, and this is little high grade. So he was wrong. He was definitely, he called that shot wrong.
Yeah.
So 2 years. 2 years. That tells everybody that if you got a good story, you might be walking up out of here. And a lot of cats going to go to jail behind that.
So 85% on a 24-month sentence is 20 months.
Well, feds, you have to do the whole thing. There's no percentage.
Not the whole 2 years.
It's 85%.
In fed...
Yeah, let's make a bet. I'm making a bet with Nori.
Maybe there's
85%.
Maybe it's different amongst different jurisdictions. I don't know.
Well, no, because the feds is one jurisdiction.
Right. Well, no, there's not. I mean, there's different circuits, and you know what I mean.
But when you get sentenced, there's no different sentencing if you're in New York or Los Angeles. You got your high,
right?
Your
there's the sentencing guidelines.
Yeah.
Let me see.
So that gives him about 5 months.
Okay.
Five,
yeah.
Months.
Let me do the math on this real quick. So he already has 13 months in, and 7.4 months. Let's see. And if he's eligible for some of the programs,
they're not going to do that.
He can get a couple more months knocked off. Just like, for example, Reggie. His 85% of release date is February 2021. But he's eligible for a program that might get him released in September of 2020. So that shaves off September, October, November, December, January. That shaves off 5 months off of his sentence with 85%. So I guarantee you Daniel Hernandez, a.k.a. Tekashi 6ix9ine, is eligible. He's probably eligible for some program because it's a low sentence. So even though he's got 7.4 months left on his sentence, he might be able to get out sooner than that. What do you think, Nori? I know you're looking up some stuff there.
He might. I mean, you know, he might be eligible for certain credits. You know, you never know. The fact of the matter is he's not going to do much time in there, you know. He's going to get out before we all know it.
Okay, so if we calculate 85%, his release is in July, but if he's eligible for a program,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to predict this guy's going to get out of federal custody maybe May.
You think this spring?
Yeah, and he'll get back on track. But yeah, as the last I checked, it was 85%. But correct me if I'm wrong, or if there's other information out there that we could educate our listeners with regarding.
Yeah, I'm looking into that. I don't. Let me see. The Sentencing Reform Act, federal sentencing, 85% of the subject members preferably eligible for release. Yeah. So, cause in California, we have it structured that it's like 50, 80, 85.
Yeah, there's different tiers.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So all I know is that, you know, federal isn't set up that way with the 50, 80, 85, but you may be correct with just the 85 being the only number in terms of federal sentencing.
Yeah, the last I checked, and I've worked on a few of these Fed cases myself, is 85% and then mm-hmm. minus programs that you're eligible for.
Right. And the BOP has wide discretion in, you know, giving credits and stuff like that.
Now, James mentioned a moment ago about going pro bono. Now,
most I think he meant pro se.
Oh, pro se.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about pro bono for a minute, because pro bono is when you decide, I don't want a lawyer.
No.
I'm going to defend myself.
That's pro se.
That's pro se?
Yeah, pro bono.
Oh, no. I'm tripped. You're right.
Yeah.
Pro bono is when you're doing it for free.
Right.
No, it's... when you become your own lawyer, it's pro se?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about that. Most lawyers don't recommend a defendant to do that.
Pro per.
Pro per. That's what it is. It's pro per.
It's pro per.
It's pro per.
All right, so we just confused all
everybody.
Yeah, we just confused everyone. So let's go through these mm-hmm. Latin terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's define pro bono. What is pro bono?
Pro bono is when an attorney takes a case for free. It's like charity. You know, I'm not going to require you to pay a retainer for my services.
Correct. And you don't have to be a lawyer to do pro bono. The consultant could go pro bono. It's just giving free service.
Right.
Pro
exactly.
Bono. Now, you mentioned pro se. What is that one exactly?
Pro se and pro per, I believe they're interchangeable. Pro se and pro per are the same thing.
Okay. But we're talking about pro per.
Yeah. So that's when somebody's like, you know what, I'm not going to have an attorney represent me. I'm going to represent myself.
Now, James, when you was in custody back in the 80s, did you ever have a homie to say, man, F these lawyers. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to go
a lot of
pro per.
A lot of yeah. them. And the first thing the judge say, representing yourself, you're the biggest dummy
right.
on the planet.
In a smarter way, they say
yeah.
that. They
well,
say
I'm,
that.
I'm
yeah.
just saying because, you know, a lot of guys make a lot of mistakes in jail because they listen to that guy in the next cell that claim he know the law.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
this and that. And then you got so many jailhouse lawyers in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you got inmates giving up soup, cigarettes, and everything else back then. For him to look at his paperwork and see if you could find a loophole and all this other shit. Because, you know, some guys, I'd rather take a chance with myself than having his lawyer sit next to me and won't allow me to say what I say or mm-hmm. let me tell him this is where they wrong at. You know what I'm saying? And you're doing life in prison. So if I'm going to get life in prison, I might as well. I mean,
even as an attorney, I wouldn't represent myself. It's just not wise. It's
being
never
in jail,
wise.
You feel like you have no choice
right.
because nobody's listening to you.
I get
you
it.
You know, being on the inside and being the one that's finna lose his life, you feel like, man, if I'm gonna lose my life, I'm not gonna let them take it with me just sitting in this chair.
It's gonna be by my hands.
Yeah, it's gonna be me.
Yeah.
Let me make that mistake, but I can get up and say and speak. On what I think
mm-hmm.
the difference is between this case and a lot of them do it.
The problem with that, though, is that they don't understand, you know, the rules of evidence and admissibility and also your
motions, too, right?
Yeah, motions.
There's so
and,
many
like,
motions.
You don't know how to object. And yeah, I mean, it's just not wise.
But
at
that's
all.
Why they need a program for guys that want to represent themselves, even give them a paralegal. To deal with in jail.
Oh, in jail.
On certain,
that would be amazing.
You know
that's
what I'm
opening
that
up liability, though. That's really opening up, like, whoever would provide the program, like, you're opening yourself up to liability. Just knowing, like, how much I had to learn in law school and how difficult the bar exam
lawyers
was.
Lawyers ain't down with that.
No, it just
it
doesn't make
yourself,
sense.
You still,
okay.
It's still no
but
difference.
Here's my question, Nori. Why do they have law libraries in the prisons and in custody facilities for the inmates to use if they're not going to be taught how to use them?
Yeah, and that's a fair argument. For sure, that's a fair argument.
You got all these
but,
books,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Voluminous books.
Right.
And I don't know what the heck is in these books, but
right.
they're there for me to use, right, James? But I don't know how to use them.
Oh, they got some guys in there that know how to use
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
A lot of guys
mm-hmm.
get out of jail.
Yeah.
You know, on technicalities. But the average inmate is not finna get those sources. The average inmate don't know how to read and understand what that's like reading the Bible.
Yeah.
You don't understand it.
Yeah, and a lot of inmates are illiterate. A lot of inmates don't even know how to read and write.
Can't
you know,
get
so
it.
Where
you'll never get it. Especially
right.
them, all them different penal codes and different shit. You go to court and you talking about Johnson versus Hamilton, and then you're talking about a cat fucked the dog. So you don't know.
Whoa, what case is that?
No,
I didn't learn that
wait
case.
Wait a minute, hold up. I just made
I'm
that
a,
up. As
I'm going to brief, I'm gonna need you to brief that for me.
Just an example. But, I mean, you basically in a no-win situation mm-hmm. when you go to jail on defending yourself. And I guarantee you, every guy out there that's been sitting in there and been facing over five can honestly say, man, I'm gonna do at least five. You ain't got a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got a choice. And the system is basically set you up for it. You can't win. The bail, they know you ain't gonna be able to bail out.
Yeah.
So they make you sit 7-8 months while you're going to court. if you ain't finna take this deal. But then at the end of the day, when all that shit done expired and it's time to go to trial, they come and ask you, do you want to take woo-woo-woo? Mm-hmm. Right before trial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the coldest setup they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of 15, take this 7. Some cats don't do that. And then they sit in there with 15 in life and then try to come back. I want the original deal, the 7 years. You can't do it.
It's not on the table anymore. Yeah.
You lose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the way you completely throw a wrench in the justice system. There's one thing that defendants can do, and it will completely dismantle the justice system. And this is what it is. No one take a deal. No one take a deal. Can you imagine everyone says trial, trial, trial? Because the system's not designed for everyone to go to trial.
Right. Well, a lot of people would be getting off for violation of speedy trial rights because the DAs would be asking for more time, more time, more time. And if the client, if the defendant isn't waiving time, then a lot they can get it dismissed.
Dismissed.
The problem with that, though, is that the DA, I believe, has 2 chances to refile. So I've seen them do that. I've seen them, like, they're not prepared, and they know that they are violating the defendant's speedy trial right, so they'll dismiss it, and then they'll refile, because then it starts the clock over.
Better not dismiss it with me. I'm gone.
So what do you think of that, though? Imagine if every defendant went to trial and demanded a speedy trial.
I mean, it sounds good when you say it, but there's also, you know, like, there are also defendants, I have clients that have gotten deals of a lifetime, and I'm like, oh yeah, like, you would definitely want to take that deal.
They don't take it.
Well,
yeah, sometimes you do get some sweet deals.
Yeah,
like,
I've gotten some amazing deals. I have gotten some, wow.
But you're looking at it as from an individual perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it as the entire
systematic
system.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a systematic problem.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone go to trial. Everyone demand a trial. You got a right to a speedy trial, and you'll be seeing dismissals. And even if they want to refile, you still have new cases coming through the system, and refiling is not going to help because you still got a bunch of more new cases that just came in. And what DAs are going to have to do is say, all right, what am I going to prosecute and what am I not going to prosecute? And those that she decides or he decides not to prosecute will get dismissals.
I mean, I wish that they would really take a look at what they're filing to begin with, because sometimes, you know, I'll get a case and I'm like, wow, y'all didn't even read this discovery first before filing this, did you? Like, you know, they just file anything, and I'm like,
just not, some cases ain't worth filing,
right? Or they're just so weak that I'm like, what, why, like, why would you file this? You know, it sometimes I really think they don't even read it.
Well, it seems like whatever it takes to get a guilty verdict and a maximum sentence is what they'll do. Am I right or wrong?
It depends. Every case is different. Okay. Every DA is different.
I've worked on 510 cases, and I will say this. Every single prosecutor on those cases was trying to max out the defendant and get a guilty verdict even with limited to no evidence. I will say that because I've seen it. I've experienced it.
But that's their job,
it.
Though, right?
Well, no. For example, if in the middle of trial, we have evidence that this guy wasn't the shooter. In fact, we have information that this other person that you never questioned is the shooter.
That's what I'm saying. They don't care.
They don't care. At that point, they're all in.
Yeah.
They're not going to say, oh, Your Honor,
tunnel vision.
We moved to dismiss this case because we just came across some very valuable information that suggests that this guy is completely innocent and that we're pursuing the wrong guy. That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Nah. And I've seen that happen like a dozen or more times in the last 5 years.
I think they do it for, like, their career. You know what I'm saying? You know, being bumped up in the business or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people got a lot of raw deals with the DA.
Okay, well,
in the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
I wanted to ask this very important question on expungements. Now, imagine, James, if you can get your previous conviction expunged. I'm not sure if you're eligible. There's all these weird rules, but we'll have Nori. I'm sure you know a little bit about expungements because you have a felony conviction.
And I have a whole bunch of.
Yeah. But,
you got a collection?
But it hampers you sometimes, depending on what you want to do. For example, you can't go buy a gun.
Well, I've been out of the penitentiary for 31 years now.
I feel that you should be able to live your life as a non-felon at this point.
They're not doing that. Mm-hmm. This is going to stay with me for the rest of my life, unless
I'll give you my card.
Is that true? Okay. Is that true, Nori? Can you speak on that?
Yeah, so, I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do. So, in order, we'll start with the 1203.4 motions, which are expungement motions. You are eligible to expunge a conviction if you were not sentenced to state prison. So, for example, you know, you're sentenced to county or probation, and you fulfilled your obligations under that, you can move to expunge it. Now, obviously, there are people who have felony convictions where they were sentenced to state prison and they want to get that cleaned up. One of the options you can do is file a certificate of rehabilitation in the county in which you reside. So you live in LA, you would file it downtown, Department 100. You get, you know, character reference letters together. We discuss, look, you've been out for 31 years. This is what you're doing with your life now. You know, you're a family man, yada, yada, yada. And then if the judge grants it, then that acts as a recommendation as a pardon to the governor.
Yeah.
But getting the COR, the Certificate of Rehabilitation, granted, that alone restores your gun rights.
Okay.
So that's an option. So going, you know, the COR the pardon route, you know, you can potentially still do that.
Well, I'm one that's gonna carry my gun with me regardless. I don't need a piece of paper. I ain't tripping. But I mean, just to be clean and clear, I mean, that's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But they told me only, like you had said, the misdemeanor shit. Mm-hmm. They charged me, what they call that, Lord have mercy. I got into it with a police officer. I told him to take off his gun and badge and I'll whoop his ass.
Terrorist threat.
Oh, my God.
They took me to jail and a $50,000 bail. $50,000. Just because of my history, I stayed in jail 3 months.
Oh, my God.
Fighting this. So they wind up saying a year probation.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the year probation. Send me home.
Mm-hmm.
Walk right out the door. Had to go back to the county jail and then get released.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so ridiculous. A terrorist threat.
Right.
We here. Hi, Mom. Why would you look at me like that?
Mm-hmm.
Two grown men talking shit. You the police. Come do what you're going to do. Take that badge off, but I'll beat your ass. No.
Well, that's...
He waited till four more cars came. Okay, I know I ain't finna win this one. You know what I'm saying? Put your hands up, yada, yada, rough you up a little bit, and I go to jail, terrorist threat. He didn't have nothing else to charge me with.
Yeah.
I said I'll beat your ass. And I lost 3 months, and I got a year probation after that. So I had to walk a thin line for the probation. You know what I'm saying? Not summary probation.
Right. Formal.
You know what I'm saying? Formal mm-hmm. probation.
That will land you in prison.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But they just wanted to try to fuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And this, as long as they got a tail and they got a ticket on you, it don't matter. They know where you're at and what you're doing. And if they want to pull your name up and say this fits him, they can come fuck with you. Compton and anywhere else. It's been like that.
Well, can you go into detail on what exactly is a terrorist threat? Like, as what it can be as minor as something.
Yeah, it could be
like
just
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it happen all the time, and it comes down to the discretion of the DA. I mean, because what happens is the cops write up the report. In any investigation, the cops write up the report, they hand it off to the DA. The DA is supposed to look at it and say, okay, there's sufficient evidence here to potentially secure a conviction. Or, no, there's really not. Or they can even look at it and say, okay, his rights were violated, and so that's, you know, we're going to lose that one. So
freedom of speech, right?
I mean...
do I have that?
How would you defend James on that terrorist threat charge?
Well, the First Amendment isn't really... I mean, that's not a defense to that charge, you know?
Right. I got a right to say whatever
I want. But there's a carve-out. You don't have the right to threaten people.
You can't say fire, right, in a building.
Right.
You can't... There's certain things you can't say.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I'm learning.
One of the things you could have done is file motions to get like the disciplinary records of the cops involved, and so if they have a record or a pattern of dishonesty and lying or falsifying reports, then that could have been leverage either for negotiating, or if you took it to trial, that would be impeachment evidence.
Yeah.
So there are different routes. Every case is different, and you know it's hard to say without seeing the discovery.
So they do have a right to take you to jail if you say, I whoop your ass. Not I kill you, I whoop your ass.
I mean, yeah, he did, right?
Yeah, he did. But I'm saying, is he right? I mean...
I don't think he's right. I think that's like some pussy shit.
Thank you.
But, you know, they do it. It happens all the time.
If he felt threatened by me with his job, because their job is beyond my conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? For number one, man-to-man speaking, you shouldn't be offended.
Right.
If you're offended, then you're going to use your job to do what you want to do to give me a bad day.
Right.
Now, I'm having a bad day because you pissed off because I talked to you a certain
right.
kind of way. Put me in your fucking car. Take me around the corner. Whoop my ass. Learn my lesson. I won't say it no more because the next one might be worse. and we good. But you take a motherfucker to jail and you have a terrorist threat.
Well, you know that's how they play.
Jesus.
They use the system. You know that's how
Man,
they play.
But, I mean, they shouldn't be able to use it like that. And you should have a DA or assistant of a DA to look through these cases and say, come on, this put all the BS ones over here and all the ones that are serious, they go bam. Mm. But you take these right here and put a release on them. DAG reject. Do something with that type of shit. Because people going to jail for spitting on the ground.
Mm.
That ain't cool. People going to jail for jaywalking, crossing the street because the light red. They taking you to jail for it. Pay $250, you can get out. Come on,
man. Is it true that you can get a sexual case for urinating in public?
I've never seen
like,
that.
If you want to go pee in the bush, you know, you have to go. There's nowhere to go. You take a piss in the mm-hmm. bush. The police pull up and see.
That's public in exposure or some shit.
Right.
If you get convicted for it, I heard you got to register as a sex offender.
I don't know that registration on that offense is mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
That may be one of the types of charges where it's like discretionary. Where, I mean, I would never take a deal that included that. That's kind of silly. And I think that's kind of like an old wives' tale that kind of maybe used to happen a little bit in the past. I've never personally seen that happen.
I actually read it recently.
Yeah.
And got me nervous because I had to take a piss in the bush the other day. And all I was thinking about is, man, I hope the police don't pull up on me and try to give me a case. I do that. I piss like this.
I got my arms crossed. If I could, I would. And you know what? Back in the day when I was like a little party monster, like when I was in my early 20s, I used to pop a squat anywhere. Anywhere.
Keep a napkin in your pocket.
Man, sometimes you got to drip dry.
Exactly. Oh, Lord.
All right, I want to know, what exactly are we required to do as citizens when the LAPD or any other of these local law enforcement entities pull us over for a traffic stop? What are we required? What is the minimum we're required to do?
You have to provide ID. That's minimum. You have to give them your driver's license.
Okay.
Now, what if I said I don't answer questions?
You don't have to answer questions about your day or where you're going or where you're coming from. You don't have to answer any of that.
But it's required by law to show
your driver's license.
Your license,
yeah.
You have a license to drive the vehicle, yeah.
But anything other than that, I don't have to answer.
Correct.
Okay.
You probably also got to give them your registration and insurance.
I mean, if you have it, it would be silly not to.
Yeah.
and that's one thing you and I and Reggie had a difference in. And my thing is, looking at all of these videos that's on the internet and all of this, it's more easier to just comply.
That's the Reggie approach.
Than to being hassled and getting punched on and going through all the other shit. Some people don't see it that way because you got some cops that walk up to you already hostile.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know if you're dealing with a good cop, bad cop, or whatever his temperament is at that moment. So I can be cooperating with you the whole nine, but he's still going to act like an ass. So you can't even answer that question because you never know what officer you dealing with at that time.
And they don't know how I'm feeling in that car. They don't know what I'm going through.
Exactly. So
it goes both ways, James.
But the way that they come off at you is the way I'm going to come back at you. You see what I'm saying? Now, if you got an officer that walks up and, you know, you got some cool ones. You got some cool ones. I done got pulled over when I knew I should have went to jail. Man, I'm not going to take you to jail. I'm not going to take your car. I'm not going to do this. But can you do this for me? Oh, no problem. Because now I'm relaxed because you say I ain't taking you to jail. I'm not going to take you out your car. Don't worry about nothing. We good. I got you.
Okay.
You drive off.
Now, let me.
You never know.
Let me ask you this, Nori. What if it's a traffic stop and the cop says, I need you to step out of your car?
Mm-hmm.
What are we legally allowed to, how can we respond legally?
I mean, it just depends, because here's the cold hard facts is that, you know, if you are putting up a fight and not complying, they have the ability to make your life a lot worse than it is. And, you know, they need reasonable suspicion, at least, to pull you out of your car. They're always going to cite for officer safety reasons. They're always going to cite that.
But if it's just a traffic stop, I'm pulled over for going through a stop sign. Shouldn't it just stay at that?
It absolutely should. But it's probably something that you should let your attorney fight. Because if you are not complying and you're giving the officer a hard time, I don't know any situation where that's going to make it better for you in that moment.
Not complying is not giving my driver's license, social security card.
No, you have to do that.
Giving them that and then still telling me to get out of my car. For what?
Mm-hmm.
By law, I don't have to.
Yeah, you can ask him, what is your reasonable suspicion for further detaining me?
So
what is,
just
you know?
Because you feel for your safety. I'm sitting in my car. How do you feel for your safety?
Mm-hmm.
What makes it necessary? You don't smell no drugs. You don't smell no alcohol. They shouldn't do it.
Agreed.
And they got guns.
I was living in Aurora, in Denver, Colorado. Six of us in the car. Big time. We selling drugs the whole night. Six cats in the car. Gangbangers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know we finna be profiled, but I'm used to getting pulled over in Compton. Damn, we finna go to jail. We doing all this shit. Hide shit. That officer, one came to the side, and the other one, he only talked to the driver and didn't say shit else to nobody else. Driver gave him what he want, and motherfuckers drove off. Drugs, guns, and everything else. Oh, I'm finna move out here. It's just a difference, man. It's just a difference.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big fan of complying. I'm really not.
Well, I think you have to.
No, you don't have
unless
to.
Unless you're looking for.
Go look at the video I posted of me getting pulled over. I got pulled over a couple months ago, and I had my GoPro going. And I completely did. Well, I don't even want to say I didn't comply because I'm not required to do that. So comply is the wrong word.
Yeah.
You know? Now, yeah, you give your driver's license. But outside of that, I don't feel like you should be doing anything else. I don't care if it's for officer safety. Mm-hmm. They signed up for this job. They have the guns.
Nine times out of ten, the police think, this black cat looked like a thug. It looked like you've been there. I guarantee you he might have some drugs or a gun.
Right. They go on a hunch.
Exactly. Yeah. So they got to figure a way to search your car.
Right.
I mean.
Well, that's how I beat cases.
It's a column.
That's how I beat the cases, though, is they can't. There's case law specifically that uses the word hunch that you cannot search based on a hunch.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, and then you get the cops that lie and say, oh, well, I smelled marijuana, but then they don't find marijuana.
That's,
you know,
the oldest trick in the book, right? Now, right?
Yeah.
But come on, they cops. Know this car ain't finna go in. There ain't nobody he telling this to. They ain't finna go smell this car. I smell marijuana. But me personally, I'm 50-something years old. I ain't never smoked weed a day in my life. So I know he lying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is the judge gonna believe that I ain't never smoked? Nigga, he probably said, nigga, you know you smoke some weed. But I ain't never smoked weed a day in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's very telling if he conducts a search and doesn't find any marijuana. I love bringing that up on the stand with the cops. Like, oh, yeah. So you smelled marijuana. Was it a strong scent of marijuana? Was it burning? Was it fresh? So where did you find the marijuana? Then, oh, you didn't find any? Then what were you smelling? Was it on you? Like, you know, like you really hammer on that point. Like, oh, you smelled marijuana, but you searched that whole damn car.
So you go at the police like that?
Oh, my. I punk. Y'all gotta come watch. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I think she's hired, James.
You watched her?
No, I haven't watched her. But
she was just telling us she represented the guy on the Nipsey trial.
Well, Carrie Lathan, the gentleman that was shot
cousin
alongside
Carrie.
Nipsey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She represented him. Got him out, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now he was violated. This is a trip. You know, if you're on parole, for all those that are listening, a violation could be you getting shot. Just getting, becoming a victim of a gunshot.
Because you shouldn't have been in that vicinity. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah,
your fault.
That's the I guess, the thought behind it.
Yeah.
But you could be walking down the street, minding your own business. You're a guy on parole, and some car just drives by, and you get shot. And you get violated for that?
Well, getting shot wasn't their allegation of the violation. It was that he was associating and near a known gang member, and they, you know, Nipsey Hussle. They were saying he shouldn't have been around Nipsey, is what they're saying.
Yeah, and you know, I was reading somewhere where there's going to be some reform coming, especially as it relates to parolees. And what it takes to get them sent back to prison. Because right now, you don't have to commit a crime to go back to prison on a violation. And I think it was Van Jones.
You can come home and live better and go back to prison, living above your means. You shouldn't have a car just getting out of prison. You shouldn't be living in this type of home just getting out of prison. Well, who are you to tell me how I'm supposed to live?
But there's just too many simple things that you can violate and end
it's
up
so
doing
delicate.
1 or 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And I think it was Van Jones that I heard talking about, we're going to really reform this the way parolees are going to live.
I hope so. Yeah. And one of the things I'm working on is getting the laws changed to allow people to be removed from Cal gangs, because right now there's no vehicle in the law that allows people to petition to be removed from Cal gangs. And so if that was available, and let's say Nipsey, you know, would have filed to be removed from Cal gangs, Carrie never would have been arrested on the alleged violation.
Exactly. So they would have found something else.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that, you know, they're so gung-ho on preaching rehabilitation and you got to better your life and you got to stop gangbanging and do better. But they don't offer any relief to not be seen as a gang member in the eyes of the law, and that's that isn't fair. Like if you're preaching rehabilitation, at least make it available to where you see me as rehabilitated.
The police can't, and this is me personally, can't rehabilitate nobody. The police can't turn your life around. by being in prison. The only person can do that is you.
Mm-hmm.
Like take my case, for instance. Prison ain't what I thought it was going to be. So why should I go back?
Mm-hmm.
It's totally up to you. You know what I'm saying? Rehabilitation sucks. They teach you a little shit in there, then you half of the guys in there can't get the job that's paying 75 cents, 65 cents, or whatever. You fucking working, picking up cans and paper and shit. That ain't teaching you shit. You know what I'm saying? You go to school. But, I mean, it's just so much. Rehabilitation is nothing. Mm-hmm. It's all up to you.
I want to ask you more about this Cal Gangs, but I want to remind all of our listeners that you can watch snippets of this show on the Digital Soapbox Network, video snippets for those that want to see us interacting here in the studios. And those videos are brought to us by Smooth Cut Productions. And I also want to remind everyone, if you want to holler at James McDonald, you can catch him on Facebook. He has the red Harley in the profile picture. And he's also on Instagram at BIGGJ3636. And you want those Death Row t-shirts, hit him up, 909-800-6404. And I'm available on all social media platforms at AlexAlonso101. And you can find me at streetgangs.com. And Nori, tell the listeners where they can find you at.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. My handle is at Nori_the nightmare.
And I want to thank all the listeners that are on Apple Podcasts for leaving a rating and review. And we're also on Spotify and radio.com for you Android and Samsung users. So as I remember, Cal Gangs will keep you in the system unless you don't have any police contact for 5 years. Is that correct?
That's not my understanding of it. It's my understanding that there's no way off of Cal Gangs.
Okay.
You're in it. Yeah.
Well, they have to remove people from Cal Gangs because every year they put out the number of gang members that are in the city, mm-hmm. and that number is not like, if they kept everyone in, that number would be constantly growing.
Maybe if you die. Maybe yeah. if you die. I mean, I don't. But there's definitely no vehicle in terms of something that anybody can file to be removed.
Yeah, there's definitely no filing. But the way that I understood it is you have to have no police contact, not arrest, not going to jail, but contact, meaning consensual contact, or they pull mm-hmm. up on you and fill out an FI card. That's a contact. Now, mm-hmm. how difficult it is for a brother in South L.A. or East L.A. or the Valley to not have any police contact for 5 years.
Basically impossible.
Yeah.
No, it's the Yaku again. No, it's not.
Are you kidding me?
I stayed out of...
We're talking about police contact, not staying out of prison.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. police contact. I mean, it's just how you walk, man.
When was the last time you got pulled over by the police?
The other day.
That's police contact, so you staying in Cal Gangs.
Well, I mean...
That would be a police contact.
You got to look at all of this we talking about. This Cal shit. Every time I took a picture, that's your profile. That's your tag. You're tagged. Going to prison. You hear cats say it all day. I'm finna give them back this number. I'm finna give them back this tag and be done with it. It's so hard to get rid of that number. It's so hard to get rid of that tag. One way or another, they gotta know where you are. That's what it's designed for. That's what we are. Everybody is a number. You go to jail when they stopped. And just say, for instance, When the police came and told you can't whoop your kids no more in the city, in the hood, what do you think gonna happen when your kids don't listen to you? They gonna get violent, they gonna be out there hanging out, they gonna be doing their thing, then they gonna go to jail.
Yeah.
Now that they done sent me to prison, now they gonna send your kids to prison, and this is how we know what we dealing with. I mean, I look at it like that. Everybody don't have to look at it like that. But, and there ain't too many cats out here on the street. They pull over and go straight to their trunk and take a picture of every guy that they think is a gangbanger. Every guy, I don't care how old he is. They got to know who they dealing with. And this going to keep going forever. Like she said, I don't think you can ever get out of there. If they look me up right now and go to my name, oh, you from Compton, you from Whoop the Whoop neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, I'm in my 50s.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I've represented clients that hadn't been in trouble for years, long, long time, and they're still in Cal Gangs,
yeah,
and it's still
ridiculous.
Being brought up. So that's
what can we do? I would like to assist in
yeah,
reevaluating the whole Cal gang. Because another thing is they don't give access to defense attorneys. Mm. You can't just peruse the database
right.
to check it out. It's only prosecutors and police that have access to Cal gangs.
Right. Yeah.
How jacked up is that?
We got to lobby the California legislature and you know, I'm working on that. I got so many things on my plate, but that's definitely like at the top of my list of things to do is to address that.
Who was the biggest person you represented?
Well, I'm helping Snoop with his record right now. I'm getting all his stuff expunged and trying to get his gun rights back. So probably cool. Snoop. Yeah.
That's cool. He should be able to get his back. He ain't got no trouble.
And he's doing great things.
He got found no guilty on the murder.
Right.
But do that still? You got a clue?
No.
That ain't got nothing to
there's
do
no
with.
Conviction there, so there's nothing to clean up. Yeah, there's nothing to clean up.
He ain't got too much of nothing.
Well, he got that one case that Reggie Brill brings up when him and Daz ran with the weed.
That shouldn't be nothing they can't expunge. That's a misdemeanor.
I believe it depends. Yeah. That's probably a misdemeanor. I don't know. I haven't seen
less than an ounce of weed.
But this was 1998.
Long time ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know if possession of weed in 98 was a misdemeanor?
A lot of his stuff, I think it was even still a wobbler back then, but a lot of his stuff is so old that we actually had to go to the courthouse to pull the info.
Yeah, you had to have over an ounce better back then
for a felony. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, I want to ask you about Jackie Lacey because she's the DA of L.A. County, and they're going to have an election, and a lot of people want to get rid of her, even though Jackie Lacey, for those who don't know, is a black woman, and we would have thought we got a black DA now, and maybe there's going to be some equitable representation, but in over 500 officer-involved shootings, James, over 500 officer-involved shootings where someone died. Guess how many officers have been prosecuted?
Two.
One. One. And there are at least, I can think of at least a dozen where it's very questionable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one issue that a lot of people have with her. And I was just wondering, Nori, what do you think about Jackie Lacey?
You know, I would like to see somebody else in there. But one thing that Jackie Lacey did do that she, you know, we could give her credit for is that she started the conviction review unit, which looks at cases of wrongful convictions. I don't know how fruitful their efforts have been. I presented a case to them, me and another student, on behalf of Project for the Innocent while I was still in law school, and they took the case and actually he ended up getting exonerated after 20 years of being wrongfully imprisoned. But, you know, I have heard some complaints about, you know, that unit not really being for that mission. but, I haven't had the pleasure of presenting a case to them since I've had my own firm. So that is, I mean, the idea of it is great.
The conviction
review unit. But, yeah, I would agree that I would like to see somebody a little bit more understanding in evaluating cases and in their prosecution.
But what about the lack of prosecuting officers in these? I mean, over 500 officer-involved shootings under her watch, James, and just one indictment.
Fire her ass.
I think, well, listen, okay, I got to stay somewhat PC because I'm in these courthouses every day.
Exactly.
But I think that the numbers are telling.
I'm going to say it for you. You got a lot of black people that gets these jobs and like black officers or whatever, and they do things to look good for the other people instead of their own people, and they know how they got to be in these certain type of jobs. They can't make it look like I'm looking out for my people or she'd have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So either you act a certain kind of way or you out of here. They're looking at their careers, not the lives that they dumping in the penitentiary or the people that died on the streets. They don't care about that. They worrying about their career and where this is going to take their career. Fire her ass.
I was just expecting a little bit more from Jackie Lacey. I mean, I know that all 500 plus of those cases don't warrant an indictment, but
more than one.
More than one, exactly. More than one. And the one that they did charge was the officer that escaped from L.A. with his father. His father helped him get into Mexico.
Oh, wow.
And then they caught him. He got into a shooting with a quote-unquote gang member. Mm. He shot and killed the gang member, I think, in a parking lot.
That was a few years ago.
It was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I remember
And then
that.
He left and went to Mexico with the help of his dad. Exactly. And they have, like, surveillance of them crossing the border. And they actually charged the father. The father already did his time. I think he did, like, a year.
Wow.
For, I guess, what would that charge have been?
That's a federal offense.
Yeah, that was a federal offense. He aided or abetted.
Aided and abetted a fugitive.
Yeah.
So federal sentencing is so complex. Like, there's zones and then there's levels and there's, like, I mean, it would depend. I would need to look at the
so that's the officer that that Jackie Lacey eventually charged. I don't have his name here.
I'd say fire.
But the last thing I want to ask you about is, what's the difference between pimping and pandering?
Pimping, pandering is that's one charge.
Okay, it is one charge. It always says pimping and pandering. But I saw a video where you were breaking down pimping and then pandering as two separate things, or they have different definitions?
What was I breaking down? And
before you answer that, is pimping easy?
if you're
a hip hop head,
but it's a whole lot of fun.
Okay, who rapped that? Who rapped that song?
Snoop.
Pimping ain't easy. Pimping ain't easy. Come on, James.
Too short? No.
Pimping ain't easy.
Come on, man.
What do you say?
No, no. What?
Big Daddy Kane, y'all. Yeah. Big Daddy.
Well, everybody done said it.
Hey, they ain't hip hop heads, huh?
The favorite one. I mean, I done heard all of them. But
the officer that went to Mexico. I'm gonna get his name. But yeah, pimping and pandering. What is that? What is that actually?
So pimping it, and I broke this down in the video. We should just play the video. But pimping is more getting proceeds and benefits from the act of prostitution, whereas pandering is more encouraging. And helping somebody.
But ain't selling your own body is at free will? I mean, I disagree with these guys taking 13 and 14-year-old girls out there.
Correct.
And doing it. Easy to be influenced.
Yes.
Right. Pimping is a conversation. And a lot of these guys have that conversation for these naive young women out there that don't understand and have it rough at home. You know what I'm saying? So I disagree with how they take it and then take these kids. But if you 35 years old and 29 years old and you want to sell your motherfucking coupon to whomever you choose and stupid enough to give it to a cat with his hat tilted, then by any means necessary, get the money.
Well, there are some jurisdictions, I believe in Southern Nevada it is. And then the comedian George Carlin said it best. If making money is legal and having sex is legal,
it is,
then how come making money having sex is not legal?
And actually, you know, I mean, you can be charged with just pimping or just pandering, but I've never seen them separated.
Well,
they're
breaking them off like it's a thing to do in Vegas. I mean, they're sending you to penitentiary now. Because if you take a girl from L.A. and then take her to Vegas, they call that trafficking. You done took her from one state to another, and you going to jail. You know what I'm saying? But what I said is they're getting these young girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? These naive little kids that think it's going to be all this.
Yeah, they run
this
away
dude
from
love
home.
Me, mm-hmm. And here they are.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we just got to, you know.
All right. Tell the listeners, Nori, where if someone wants to hire you, if they want you to, if they want to consult with you, they need some advice, they want to sit in your office, they want to holler at you about the law, how can they find you?
So you can go online, just type in the Noriega Law Firm, I'll pop right up. I'm here on Wilshire and La Brea. My office number is 213-703-0004. I prefer that people reach out that way. I do still get DMs all the time, but if you DM me, I'm just going to instruct you to call the office. So you'll call the office, my staff will do intake, and then if it's a case that I'm interested in taking, call you back with a quote.
I bet you got a lot of DMs.
I get a lot of DMs.
What kind of cases you take?
Everything.
Everything?
Mm-hmm.
Divorces, all that?
No. Criminal. Everything criminal.
Everything criminal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I have yet to see you in the courthouse. I'm in the courthouse almost every day myself.
Yeah?
Downtown, CCB.
I'm at CCB a lot. I'm in Compton. I'm in Inglewood. I'm in Long Beach. Torrance. I'm everywhere.
All right. And I want to thank all the listeners for listening to another episode of the Gangster Chronicles. Again, check out video snippets of this episode on the Digital Soapbox Network, brought to you by Smooth Cut Productions. And don't forget to holler at James McDonald on those Death Row shirts. Don't forget, you can find me.
He got some in the car.
He got some in the car right now. And I think he got other colors, right?
No, I stopped that.
Oh, okay.
You know, it slowed down a little bit, but they still coming. But I'm going for the hoodies and the trying to get the house shoes.
Ooh, I'm gonna need some of those for
the
sure.
The hoodies?
The house shoes.
Yeah, I'm trying to hook it up. So if this guy come through like he said, I'm gonna have house shoes, hoodies, beanies, the whole nine.
Oh, make sure you hit James at 909-800-6404. You can find me at AlexAlonso101 on all social media platforms. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And Nori, give them your number one more time.
Yeah, office number is 213-703-0004. And be sure to follow me on Instagram at Nori_the Nightmare.
I'm going
to
start following you right now.
Do it.
And thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having
me. For another episode. And we're out.
We out.
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk, get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.